the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette, and this is Idaho Matters. At some point, most people will find themselves in some sort of toxic situation. It could be a job, it could be a relationship, maybe there's a family dynamic going on. And if you do not have the tools to deal with the emotions surrounding all of that, well, that situation could end up being disastrous. Idaho-based board-certified psychiatrist and founder of Perma Mental Health, Dr. Alex Wills, says we need to embrace our emotions in order to regain control of our lives. In fact, he's written a new book about this. It's called Give a Bleep, actually. And he is joining us to talk more about this today. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Gemma. Thanks for having me on.
So first off, Dr. Wills, can we talk about how often you would see patients, I'm assuming, come in and be maybe stuck emotionally?
Yeah, that's kind of the par for the course. We see folks every day who don't have the best relationship with emotions, and the media and stuff out there is trying to tell people not to care and emotions are overrated, and it's a virtue to not give a bleep about things. However, people get stuck and then they end up coming to see us to help them have a better relationship with their own emotions.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think you're so right that we seem to, I hope we're getting better as a culture, but I mean, definitely, I think that we live in a culture, in particular, when I think you look at boys and men, to suppress your emotions, right? That emotions, especially if they're sad or, you know, they don't feel good, that you should just not deal with them. And at some point, I would think you would have to deal with them because they'll come out no matter what.
Yeah. And that's a good point about sort of the traditional view of masculinity is to be mm-hmm. tough, to be stoic, to be macho, to, you know, not have any painful, unpleasant emotions or sad emotions and to be able to power through it and to soldier on. And I find that the true courage is having enough bravery to accept and to go into those vulnerable emotions and to be able to admit it to yourself and then to your partner.
Yeah. And I mean, I could talk to you all day about this because, I mean, I have two boys and I am a firm believer in the fact that all emotions are good emotions, right? There's no bad emotion. And I think it's so important in particular when we are raising boys in particular, that they know that, right? And I think we get stuck and boys and men get stuck when we don't allow for those emotions. And so I'm curious as to when you decided to write this book, was a lot of it about the fact that so many people who come to you are basically just don't have tools, right? Because they weren't taught the tools for all of these emotions.
Right. You know, most of us have heard of the famous book out there called The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Bleep. And mm-hmm. when I read it, I thought it was entertaining and interesting. However, I noticed it kind of rubbed me the wrong way, and it flew in the face of some of the newer evidence-based psychotherapies that we teach or that we help patients with, such as what I talk about in the book is radical emotional acceptance. We also have acceptance and commitment therapy. Some of them are based on some of the Eastern principles and Buddhism, and realizing that what if emotions are not a problem? What if emotions are all there to help us? We usually use terms like, I have to deal with my emotions, or I have to work through with my emotions. What if we didn't have to do any of that? What if with simple curiosity, we could look at those painful, sad, or scary emotions and realize that they're trying to help us somehow. It's just up to us to figure out how.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that there's no wrong emotion, right? I think we get stuck in that. And with that said, you mentioned this method called radical emotional acceptance. You write about this in the book. And my understanding is what there are five components to this.
Right. Yeah, I tried to make it accessible because obviously, we can't do psychotherapy with every single person out there.
Right.
And so the book has some fictionalized characters that are hopefully relatable so you can find yourself within the pages. And we go through the five simple steps of radical emotional acceptance. which are designed to be accessible so that it could become real in your own life.
And you give, examples, right, for people to be able to work through these. So can you give us an example of maybe one of the strategies that people can use?
Right. Well, if we go to step number two, which is to just name the F or name the bleep, or in other words, name the emotion, we want to just simply look inside and see what the emotions are and to name them without explaining. Oftentimes, I'll ask patients to tell me what their emotions are. And they'll talk on for maybe 10 minutes and they won't even mention one emotion by name. However, it only takes about 10 seconds to name maybe your top five or six emotions that you have going on. Simply naming them can be very powerful. For example, in the moment, you may be feeling a little bit of anxiety, maybe a tinge of sadness, also some relief, maybe some joy, and maybe a little bit of disgust for whatever reason. And to just really be aware of what your emotional landscape is moment to moment can be very powerful. And to verbalize that and to have somebody else validate it can be very healthy.
And let's talk a little bit more about this idea of there are no bad emotions. I know you're a big believer in this. Why is that important for people to accept all of the emotions that they have?
Right. I actually just today, a few minutes ago, had an article posted on psychologytoday.com talking about Eckhart Tolle, The Power of Now, and his principle of trying to be in the present moment, which can often lead people to emotionally bypass. It's another way to avoid or try to fix emotions that are unpleasant. So if we start with a stance that, wait a minute, what if no emotions are bad? What if they're all good somehow? We just have to kind of figure out how. For example, with sadness. Here I am telling people, it's great to be sad, and it sounds pretty insane. However, if you think about it more deeply, the sadness is there for a reason. It's giving you some really great emotional data about your relationship or your situation. And it's reflecting truth. It's like a sixth sense. It's like color's neither good nor bad. It's just giving you information. It's more data so that you can make the most emotionally informed decisions.
You know, it's interesting. I can't stand when people ask people if they're happy or you should be happy. Right? Or you're striving to be happy, because I've always said, I'm like, happiness is an emotion. Emotions and emotions are fleeting. They come and go. So you cannot be happy all of the time. It's just not humanly possible to be happy all of the time. And, and I think that we also tend to place this on our kids, right? Like, I just want you to be happy. And I don't say that to my children, because I'm like, I want you to find some type of contentment in your life, right? In the midst of the ups and downs. So what are your thoughts on that? Because I think we, within our culture, it's this idea of we're striving for happiness, and we just can't be happy all of the time.
I like to use a lot of analogies in the book, and my favorite for this is surfing. If you want to become a good surfer, the number one rule is don't fight the wave. You have to go with the wave. You have to study the wave. You have to become friends with the wave. We're always going to have emotional waves coming. Happiness, sadness, joy, hate, fear, whatever. They're going to be coming and going all of the time. And if you give up the fantasy that we can somehow control the waves or make them go away or live in calm waters all of the time, and instead focus on becoming a good surfer, that's how you can always be content. You could be at peace simultaneously while you're surfing a tsunami of fear, because that's just the reality of the moment. And so you learn to enjoy the ride come what may.
I love that, right? Just learn to ride the wave. What a great analogy, because so many times, you know, people truly fight that wave because you're almost afraid of what's going to happen if you fall off the surfboard, if that makes sense.
Right.
So what is your hope and for folks who pick up your book and read it? What do you hope the takeaway is?
Simply having a better relationship with our own emotions. And by doing so, we can actually reclaim ourselves, the parts of us that we're trying to get rid of, to avoid, to fix, that don't need to be fixed. Our emotional selves, if you will, we can reintegrate all of that and come back to a healthier mental state.
What's one tangible thing that you could say to our listeners right now that they could do today when it comes to trying to embrace these emotions?
Yeah, simply try naming the emotions, whatever they might be, maybe your top five or six going on, and accept that they are there to help you. And then spend some time with some curiosity, maybe journaling or going on a walk or just thinking about it for a minute, and see how they're actually trying to give you some useful data about your relationship, about your situation. And keep in mind, on the flip side of every painful or so-called negative emotion is a desire. We have an emotional desire, an emotional need, something that we want that we don't have. And so it can really clue us into that so that we can make a creative decision to move towards what we want, whatever is missing right now.
Well, I want to thank you so much for taking time today to talk with us. Really appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. We've been talking with board-certified psychiatrist, Dr. Alex Wills, talking about his new book. It's called Give a Bleep, actually. It's out now. I want to thank you again for your time, Dr. Wills.
Thanks.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
Race might be a hot topic right now, but for so many of us, talking about race is nothing new. On the Code Switch podcast from NPR, we go beyond the headlines and we go deep. Listen now.